Well, a few moments of pastoral privilege again. I want to highlight Alex and Nicholas. This is your cue. I want to highlight some of our flyers we've got out. Woohoo! Flyers! So this flyer is for Friendship Sunday coming up, first Sunday of October. Thanks, Clara, for helping design it. And this is a Sunday. Of course, we always want to welcome people, but this is a Sunday we're going to have free food. We're going to have games after worship, things for kids, things for adults that like to play games, and it's just going to be designed to be a fun Sunday together. So feel free to take a flyer, invite friends of friends, university students, I'm glad you're here today. Feel free to take more of these flyers and share them around with other university students who maybe would want to join us and have a free meal with us after worship. We'd love that. So feel free to take some, share them, invite a friend. The other flyer I want to bring your attention to is the marriage course, hot off the press. This is designed for people who are in committed relationships, who want to strengthen their relationship. And my husband and I, Kirk and I, have been through this course before, and it was so wonderful for our marriage. And it was fun, too. Key word, it was not just helpful, it was fun. It's designed to be a date night. So it's not a sit around and everybody share about your marriage. It's a you and your spouse, you and your significant other, sit down together. You're brought a nice meal, a dinner together over candlelight, and you get to have quality time together. So I hope you'll consider that, those of you who are in significant relationships. For all of you, if you know someone who, you know, speaks English, they're in a marriage relationship, and you might want to pass on a flyer to maybe somebody at work, somebody at school, et cetera, et cetera. So those are two things coming up I want to highlight and say we printed lots of them, so feel free to take extras. Good. So today we're talking about family. So I was thinking about my family, so I thought I'd share a cheesy picture. Do you like cheesy pictures? So this is a picture of my family. Maybe you just pass it around, you know, can have a good laugh. That's me when I was younger. A picture of my sister who's older, my mom and dad. That's my nuclear family. I thought about dragging out, you know, the bigger family pictures where you could point to grandmother and grandfather and, you know, all that. But it was, I don't know, 10 maybe, 12. Yeah, okay, some of you are awake. You caught that. ...with you today. Am I just an American who likes to endlessly talk about myself? Hopefully it's not just that reason. That was another joke, by the way. Thank you for that. Okay. I didn't just share a picture of my family because I wanted to show you a picture of my family. I wanted to show you a picture of my family to illustrate that we all come from families, right? Biological families. And probably if I were to put each of you on the spot, you could pull out your phone and show me a picture of, you know, here's my mom, or, you know, right? Show pictures of family. Some of you, I've seen pictures of your dad or your mom or your sister or whatever, right? And that's a connecting point. The makeup of our biological family might be a little different makeup, might look different, but we all come from some sort of family. And today we're going to be looking at a very kind of curious text from an exchange that Jesus had. And I want us to kind of try to get inside this text. Which, by the way, anytime you're reading scripture, it's a good thing to do. To look at what's the context around it. How did the first listeners kind of understand this moment? And then go to application. So here's the context. Jesus is teaching, right? He's got his immediate disciples. He's got a larger crowd. Jesus is seated and is teaching the crowd. That's the context. And probably what happened is towards the back of the crowd, somebody came up or raised their hand and said, "Hey, Rabbi, I'm supposed to send you a message that your mother and brothers are here." I know, it's a pretty good laugh, isn't it, Tim? Tim, would you mind flipping the scripture up so we can kind of eyeball that? Go back to the first one in Matthew. Good. So while Jesus is teaching, he's interrupted and told, "Your mother and your brothers are here." Now, Jesus at this moment does a very curious thing, and I would even say a jaw-dropping thing. He turns and out loud says a question to the information. So he's told, "Your mom and your brother are here." And he's told that, and he responds with a question, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" Now, to understand how that kind of grabbed the attention of everyone, we need to understand that in the day in which Jesus lived, right, the cultural environment, the Hebrew people, family was huge. Being loyal to your family was very important. In fact, many rabbis of the day were known for emphasizing the Ten Commandments, and especially the commandment from Moses that says, "Honor your father and mother." And so probably the crowd would have expected, the cultural context of this moment would have expected for Jesus to hear the news, "Your mother and brothers have traveled to come and speak with you." They would have expected Jesus to turn to the crowd and say, "You know, it's delightful to meet with you, to talk, but we're going to take a little intermission. My mother's here. I need to go and speak with him," right? It would have been expected that Jesus would have paused his teaching to go and show proper honor to his mother and brothers who had come to speak with him. But Jesus doesn't do that. Instead, Jesus asks a question back to the crowd, seeming to do a teaching moment. "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And then he goes on and gestures to the disciples around him and says, "Here are my mother and brothers. Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." I want to tell you that this moment was jaw-dropping. Like, I'm confident that there were people in the crowd whose mouth opened with a gawk and a stare. How could Jesus deny his mother and gesture to the crowd and to the disciples and say, "Here is my family"? This would have been seen as nothing short than offensive, shocking. I am confident that there would have been some in the crowd, some whispers, some elbow nudging, like, "What did the rabbi just say?" Why was it such a shock, what Jesus said? Why was it such a shock? It was such a shock because it would have been important for Jesus as a single, unmarried young man to show proper honor to his mother and his brothers. And by the cultural expectation, he did not. Which begs the question, why? Why did Jesus do this? I was doing some, you know, Bible research, some looking at other Bible scholars to see how they see this, and they confirmed what my gut said, and that is, Jesus did not mean to say, "Go disrespect your mother." That's not what Jesus' point was. In fact, if you look at other contexts, right, we see that Jesus very much did show honor and love and care to his mother, right? One of the things he did on the cross, right, was to address his own mother. The first miracle Jesus performed was to do a miracle at the request of his mother. So there are other greater contexts about Jesus Christ that show he honored his biological mother. However, at this moment, I think Jesus was being very countercultural and kind of confronting the culture of the day. The culture of the day said, your highest loyalty is to your biological family. And here Jesus flips it, doesn't he? He confronts it. He even challenges that thinking and says, no, my family, my truest family, are those who want to do the will of my Father. Wow. Jesus begins to set up this idea of the family of God. And you see that in the Gospels and in a book like Matthew or Luke, you see Jesus setting up another sense of family. And in fact, Jesus pours into his disciples, and on the night where he's going to go and be betrayed and go to the cross, he gives the disciples some real earthy instructions. Tim, would you mind flipping to that next one? Jesus says to his disciples, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And so Jesus kind of gives this teaching to the disciples and basically says to them, you've seen how I've loved you. You've seen how I've loved you like family. You've seen how I've sacrificed for you. I've spent time. I've spent resources. I've given you so much of me. And now I'm going to ask that you turn around and love each other that way. And this idea is further developed in the New Testament, right? If you go to, say, Ephesians, we're told in Ephesians 1 that we're adopted as children of God. We're told later in Ephesians that we are members of the household of God. In other words, we're family. And so this is a pretty radical concept in the New Testament, this idea that there's another loyalty here. There's your biological family, and then there's a spiritual family. A spiritual family. I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but I can say I've experienced it multiple times where I've traveled to another part of the world, where I've met someone that I don't speak their language. They have they look different, they eat different foods, they're different in so many ways, and yet there's an instant connection. And not just like, oh, I like you, but like a deep heart connection with that person. And it feels like, even though I don't know you, I know you. I think that's one of the beauties of being a part of an international church where we have many differences, right? If we would stand in a circle and all talk about politics or take any issue, I'm confident we would have differences of opinion. And yet, we come together and say, in Christ, we're a community and we're going to try to love one another. And isn't that what Jesus challenged his disciples to do? Love one another. Full stop. Now, I'll just personally say, on a personal note, I long for the church to really live up to what Jesus asked us to do. And sometimes I see Christians seem to be more divisive and hateful than loving. I'll even go so far as to say that sometimes I've been hurt by people who I thought had my back, you know, loved me because we were in Christ family. And then I felt really hurt by them. Maybe some of you have experienced that too. Part of the pain and the grief I feel over the United Methodist Church and the drama going on and the separation of everybody voting and taking sides is, yes, there are important issues to discuss, but what about this call to be family? And it feels sometimes like different Christian churches are busy divorcing each other. And that doesn't feel right to my soul. And it makes me feel very sad. And, you know, if I'm honest, I can also look at my life. I've been a pastor enough years to know I've made mistakes. I've not always been great at loving the people I am called to love. And so this command, right, of Jesus to say, love one another, that is no easy task, right? It's easy if we only come to worship 1 hour a week and we hardly ever talk to each other. And we can all say, well, we went to church together. But it gets harder, doesn't it, when we really get to know each other and get to know each other's differences, likes and dislikes, opinions, and we step on each other's toes, so to speak, metaphorically speaking. It can be difficult. How do we really, in the midst of messy community, love each other? And so today I want to invite you, maybe for some of you, there's an invitation to a lament in this, a lament of where you have experienced the church community gone wrong. Maybe in your past, maybe another church you've experienced, maybe with some of the drama going on right now. I'm thankful that in this church community, I've been here over a year now, I've experienced great welcome, great love, great acceptance, and I'm really grateful for that. And I hope that as any one of you come in this door, you experience that too from one another. And I sense many of you do, that no matter what your background, no matter what your story, we love you, full stop. We welcome you. We're glad you're here. And I hope we keep growing that. Because I really see that Jesus calls us into a family of sorts. That it's not just that we go to church together, but I'm to care about you. You're to care about me. And so I want to leave you with a question or two. A question or two to maybe reflect on, pray about, chew on. Maybe in the next week or two, you can even find somebody to talk to about this. Here's a question. What if we really as a church, ESUMC, started seeing one another as family? How would we do church differently? What if we, you and I, gathered here, began to see one another, people who are trying to follow God, as family? How would we begin to do church differently? What would our community life begin to look like? I'd invite you to reflect on that. The call of Jesus teaching the crowd, saying, who are my mother my brothers, my sister, those who do the will of God. A very profound reordering of who to love and who to show deep affection and loyalty to. And I think that's very challenging. I'm very challenged by that. And I want you to know I often pray for each of you that I see here. And anytime you want to reach out and be prayed for or say, I have a request or meet together, I am happy to do that. Not just because I happen to be your pastor, but because I care and because I do see this injunction of let's love one another. And I hope we can all grow in that together. Isn't it exciting when you find yourself in a community that actually accepts and loves you, actually wants to see you? I think it's exciting. So let's go to the Lord and pray. I'm just going to leave you with a moment of silence as we start with the question, what if we, as a church community, began to see one another more as part of the family of God?